I'm excited about this six-part series. And before we do anything else, as we jump in, may we pray. Lord, your word is truth. And you tell us in your word that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we want to hear your word, your truth, so that our faith is built, so that we walk with you into new places of grace that will become places of joy, because that is the work of your Spirit in answer to prayer. Lord, we long to see you, to know what only you can do, to stand in that place where we say God did this, and only he could have made it happen. And so as we stand before you now, we admit our need for you. We admit, Lord, that apart from you, we have no good thing. That there is no goodness in us that would cause you to love us. It is your mercy. But because of your mercy, we are your children, and we can come to you and cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, teach us, we pray, from your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start this morning in the Last Supper in John chapter 13. Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet, and he tells them, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture. "He who shared my bread has turned against me." I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Do you see what Jesus is doing? Think about what is happening behind his words. He's pointing to the Old Testament as proof of his identity as the Messiah. Again, this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture. "He who has shared my bread has turned against me." But where is he going? Psalm 41. "Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. But may you have mercy on me, Lord. Raise me up that I may repay them. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. Because of my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." Psalm 41, 9 through 13. Why does this matter? Can you imagine the first time that Jesus read those words and knew that they applied to him? I mean, he is the eternal God. As the eternal God, he already knew those words were there. But as a human being, as he is living into his purpose, obedient to the Father, one day the scroll is unrolled before him, and he hears the words. And these words in Psalm 41 become his prayer. And they become his understanding of his life. And we all know stories about this, you know, from our own personal experience. A lot of people have looked at horoscopes at one time or another. I don't recommend it. There really isn't much to it at all. There can be some things that aren't so good there. But some people kind of identify with it. And, if we're not careful sometimes, we can also do that with the Word of God. We all know the story about the guy who's trying to decide what to do, and he opens up his Bible, and he reads, and Judas went out and hung himself. And then he says, that can't be right, so he opens it up and sticks his finger in another place, and it says, "What thou doest now, do quickly. I left the part of that out, though, where he opens it up and it says, go down, do likewise. You know, and then he opens it up again and says, what thou doest now, do quickly. You know, we could grab things out of the Word of God and not apply them in context. And what I want us to do this morning is to look at the context of what Jesus is saying. Because Jesus references this psalm as the Son of David. This meant that he was heir to the kingdom of David, right? And David wrote many of the psalms, and Jesus' mind and heart were filled with them, and he knew them, and he identified with them. And this is especially interesting because David wrote them centuries before Jesus' birth. But look at how Jesus references this. And I want to look at all of this, and then we're going to apply this to life. So hang on as we dig through this. Look at how Jesus references this directly in Matthew 22. Well, the Pharisees were gathered together. Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? The son of David, they replied. He said to them, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under my feet. And if then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one could say a word in reply from that day on. No one dared to ask him any more questions. And in that moment, Jesus is directly quoting Psalm 110. 1, the Lord says to my Lord, and again, it's the Psalm of David, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And as you look at the life of Jesus, and as we're going to be doing this during this season of Lent where we head up to Easter and we're looking at what Jesus did for us, we need to know Jesus alludes to this later as well, the very night he was betrayed. That night, Jesus would stand before the high priest, and when the high priest would tell him, I charge you under oath of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. You have said so, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. There it is again. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Do you see what a direct challenge that is in that moment to the high priest who is questioning him? Now, with all of this in mind, let's go back to the Last Supper, back to Psalm 41, because there's one more thing that we need to see. Here it is again. Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. Because of my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. You may be wondering, why did this mean so much to Jesus? Judas, we tend to give a bad rap to from the beginning, don't we? Because we know what he did. But Judas was one of the 12. Judas was a close follower of Jesus. And there was a time when Judas followed Jesus not to betray him, but because he loved him. And there had to be those moments when Judas was not far from the kingdom of God, when he got it. And yet he turned. Jesus cared about Judas. That's why he would use these words, "even my close friend." Judas was Jesus' friend. Think about that. You know, there's so much here. I mean, there are even glimpses of the resurrection. David was sick when he wrote it, and he speaks of God raising him up. But Jesus, "you have mercy on me, Lord. Raise me up that I may repay them." What's that? It's interesting. I mean, that's what you see happening in the Revelation, right? But I mean, it's the ultimate vindication of his claims to be risen from the dead. But then, keep on going. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. Because of my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Now that goes back to here, doesn't it? The Lord says to my Lord, "sit at my right hand." You may be wondering, as you look at all of this, what does any of this have to do with me? What does this have to do with my life? And there are a couple of things, a couple of takeaways that really matter. And the first isn't what Jesus is saying, but what he is doing. Do you see how he is praying the Psalms, praying the Word of God, taking it in, speaking with the Spirit of God in that place, taking time? Time to understand, this is what this means for my life right now. This is so key because God speaks so powerfully through his word. And God speaks intimately and directly to us through his spirit. And we can say, "oh yeah, yes, I know that." But when it happens, there's nothing like it. And if it hasn't happened to you in a while, dear one, know that God wants to speak to you in that way. But we have to take the time to listen, don't we? So part of what Jesus is showing us here is that prayer is listening. And as we listen to his word, praying the word of God helps us do that very thing. The second part of this is the human part. And that is, Jesus knows what it feels like to be betrayed. You ever been there? You ever had someone whom you love and care about just twist the knife and the can? Because they're close. It's hard. It's hard. And you find yourself having to spend sometimes years unpacking that before God, don't you? Forgiving. I mean, you don't want to, but you have to, right? Because that's what Jesus commanded us. We have to forgive. He talked about it so many times. And yet, what was done is wrong and we know it. And the reason I mention this is Jesus gets that. Jesus knows what that is like. And that's one of the beautiful things about it. As you and I come to him, as we come to him in his word, praying the Psalms as Jesus did is a great thing for us to do. Just jump in there. Just start there. Of course, in praying the prayers of the Bible as well, if you don't have a copy of that, please feel free to take a copy with you. There are so many prayers from Scripture. We were talking about this in our Sunday school class as well. It was about praying the prayers of the Bible this morning. There's something about praying the Word of God that can minister to us in our deepest places of need. That's such a beautiful thing. Because what happens there is healing. What happens is the very loving presence of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, if we will sit still long enough, will enter into us afresh. Will give us wisdom for the decisions that we need to make. Will give us peace and cooling comfort in those heated places where we're wrestling. And it starts with surrender, Lord. I'm yours. I'm yours in this. You know how I struggle, but here I am. Here I am. Again, know that as you pray through the tough places, Jesus knows. And that's why he said, come to me. You who are burdened, you who carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus went through it all, the rejection, the betrayal, through the cross, because he cares for us. Jesus is all about relationships. To draw us near to God, near to himself, there is no burden too heavy for him. He is that kind of friend. And he wants us to respond to him with a heart like that. Friend to friend. You see an insight here into Jesus' own feelings. And looking at it, we do well to wonder, if he would be my friend like that, can I be his friend as well? May we pray. Lord, we want to be faithful friends. And Lord, we confess so often it is all about us. So often, Lord, our minds, our hearts are filled with so many other things. And yet you love us and you long for us. You came to die for us. To draw us to yourself. And so in these moments we ask, Savior, friend of sinners, would you help us? Would you help us to be your friends? Just now in a moment of quiet, Would you ask him that personally, Lord? Would you help me to be your friend? Scripture says about Abraham, Abraham believed God, and so he was called a friend of God. And when you believe that Jesus died for you, that he came to take the penalty that you and I in our sinful nature deserve, and to take it far away from us so that we could be a brand new creation, that we could have an entirely new beginning with God. When we believe that, we take the first step toward that friendship. Have you taken that step? Have you said, yes, Lord, I want that. I want what you did for me. Forgive me. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. And now help me to walk with you. Thank you for wanting to be my friend. I want to be yours. Would you tell him that? And Lord, would you help us walk into this week? As we walk out of this place, to keep company with you. To love you, to love others. Thank you, Lord. All things are possible with you. Even friendship like that. In Jesus' name. Amen.